Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
I'm tired of all this winning.
Tired of it.
My homeboy had to do what he's supposed to do.
And one guy about to be the MVP in his second season.
Really?
How long did it take Tom Brady to do that?
Dale Arnold.
Cocaine is a powerful drug.
Rich Keefe.
How good is Kyrie Irving? Is he a five-star player? No, not quite. He's like a 4.5-star guy. He needs to be a 5-star guy.
In the NBA, you need a star, you need a hierarchy, and you need a chain.
Dale and Keith.
He's going to look like a lunatic?
He looks like a space alien.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, I take it all back.
What a start, Rossi. What a start to the program.
I take it all back. I said yesterday,
yeah,
I don't think we were doing ourselves or our listeners any favors by continuing to play some of the moronic sound clips out there from... But you know what?
That was pretty good.
How long did it take Tom Brady to do that?
How long did it take Tom Brady? I think there needs to be a line. I think Shannon Sharpe is still allowed because there's entertainment value.
Do you get
that? And one guy about to be the MVP in his second season.
Really?
How long did it take Tom Brady to do that?
He
sounds like when Cedric the Entertainer does like a bit on Kings of Comedy. That's exactly what it sounds like. Or is it Bernie Mac that does the... He does the very
similar
thing.
Lonzo.
Not a problem. How long did it take Tom Brady to do that? Like, I don't know. What's your point?
I said yesterday we got to stop giving these guys
the
oxygen.
Shannon
Sharp. But you know what? We got to keep bringing that stuff in.
I think Shannon Sharp's pretty good. Sharp.
How long did it take Tom Brady to do that?
Is he going
to
be?
No, it's definitely Bernie Mac when he's talking about the kids. He's like, him down, stairs. It's very similar to that. So I don't know why he needed to throw a different voice on there. That was odd.
Well,
does he try out different characters?
Don't you get the feeling that half the time he's not speaking as Shannon Sharpe anyway?
Yeah. No, he...
I mean, half the time...
A lot of different voices in there.
He at times accentuates the drawl.
He does.
And which if he just talked normally...
I don't know if there is that.
And one guy about to be the MVP in his second season.
Really?
Why does he do that? That's an exaggeration. In his second season. Why does he roll it like that? It doesn't make any sense. Did we miss something at the beginning where they're like, hey, we're going to try out different voices? We're going to be like...
That's a sarcastic voice.
Oh, that's his sarcasm?
Oh, yeah.
Then what is the... What's that voice?
That is his ain't no problem.
That ain't no problem voice?
I don't know.
In his second season. That is really funny.
We need to move Lonzo.
That ain't no problem.
Huh?
That ain't no problem.
Well, Skip going, huh?
Huh?
So I mean, say what you want about those guys. I think I have found entertainment in Shannon Sharpe. He clearly is just so sick and tired of the Patriots.
How long did it take Tom Brady to do that?
He doesn't even believe that. Like so his point is Mahomes better than Brady because year two, Brady wasn't an MVP.
And Mahomes is.
Although year two in the league.
Tom Brady was winning a Super Bowl.
A Super Bowl.
Mahomes has not done it.
He has not done it
not,
yet.
Not done,
He's like, not done it. In his second season. That's my new favorite thing now. Oh, that is good stuff.
The more I think about it, the more I think that if somehow, some way, they find a way to win the next two games.
Brady or Mahomes?
Brady.
Yeah.
Heads will explode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shannon Sharpe's head will just implode.
Well, even if they just get to the Super Bowl, because you have that whole extra week of buildup, so they have to talk about these guys for a whole nother week. That's going to drive them nuts. That is going to absolutely drive them insane. That'll be a third straight trip to the Super Bowl in ages 39, 40, and 41 for Brady. They're not going to be able to handle that, let alone if they win it on top of that. They might just shut down the league. They'll be like, all right, this is too much.
Well, all
not
the pundits,
fair.
Anyway. The league will chuggle along at its normal billion-dollar rate.
Or will
but
it,
people
Dale?
Who talk about the league.
Well, the CBA is up in another year. It's funny. Adam Schefter had a good stat
Great
on Twitter
stat.
Yesterday. He says the Patriots have made the AFC Championship game every year of the current CBA. It was a 10-year deal that they signed. The Patriots have made it the first eight.
ridiculous.
So they've got to keep the Patriots in it because, you know, they're keeping the CBA afloat.
They are. But in 2 years, what was it, 2021, we could be looking at a work stoppage? Something to get excited about? I mean, it could happen.
I think I've figured out who Shannon's trying to be.
Oh, I'd love to hear this.
Did I do that? Did I do that?
He's trying to be Stephen Urkel.
Urkel?
He's trying to be Stephen Urkel.
Stephen Urkel?
See, we need the older Stephen Urkel sound.
That's and one guy about to be the MVP in his second season.
In his second season.
Did I do that?
That doesn't sound like Urkel. And nobody calls him Stephen, Dale. It's Steve Urkel. Nobody calls...
I call him Stefan.
Stefan was cool when he came out of the machine.
He was cool. He's a cool cat.
Laura didn't know what to do. But when
how long did it take Tom Brady to do that?
To do that.
I do that.
In his second season. He sounds more like Bernie Mac. There's definitely some Bernie Mac in there. I don't get why he's doing the voice, but he is. And he's just... He's done with it. That was Kellerman's defense on Monday when Kellerman was saying, well, is Tom Brady in the MVP conversation? Like, he's going back to the regular season. Yeah. So forget about the great game he just had lighting up the Chargers. It's like, well, was he an MVP candidate? You're like, well, what does it matter right now? Actually, I'll tell you what, it doesn't. It doesn't matter.
Really?
How long did it take Tom Brady to do that?
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
I don't know, a few years? What was his first MVP? 2007? It took him a few years. Fine.
Look, Patrick Mahomes is great.
I love Patrick Mahomes.
We all love him. I love watching him play. Everything about his game is refreshing, and it's just what the National Football League needs. Part of the next generation of what we think will be really good quarterback play.
Yeah.
But the idea that he won an MVP, well, hasn't yet, but will win an MVP in his second season somehow means that he goes to the top of the all-time quarterback list?
Now, Brady did win a Super Bowl MVP in his second year.
He did, yeah.
And again,
does that count?
Pat Mahomes has not done that.
He hasn't not done that.
So that's still on the table for Pat Mahomes. But I would say Brady, his first 3 or 4 years in the league, probably as good as anybody's. You can probably stack those up. That's what it is. That's what it comes down to. And he said it. That's how he feels. He's not alone, by the way. I think that's really the same people that are dug in on that. It's just as simple as Shannon Sharp. Sick of the winning. It's Duke basketball. It's the Yankees for years. It's all these teams. Outside of New England, you get it. You'd feel the exact same way.
There is another story, and it involves your Boston Red Sox. We think we know now that the Red Sox will go to the White House, visit the White House on February 15th, although the team, I don't believe, has made an announcement as yet. Team President Sam Kennedy joins us on the line right now. Hey, Sam, how are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great, thanks. Can you confirm that the Red Sox will be at the White House February 15th?
Well, I can confirm that that's the target date that we've have held on our calendars, but the logistics are still coming together. We put that date on the calendar prior to the holidays and prior to the government shutdown, but we don't have final details now, but that is the target date.
Can I ask a cynical question?
Of course.
That's what we do. Pitchers and
catchers. Come on, I'm from Boston.
No, I understand. Pitchers and catchers are scheduled to report February 13th. The full squad doesn't report until February 18th. Is this date almost designed to ensure that you don't have a full squad there?
No, actually, quite the opposite. This is the date that was preferred by Alex Cora, Dave Dombrowski, the coaching staff. A couple things. We wanted to set it up earlier rather than later. Some years in the past, we've gone either in April or May when we've played down in Baltimore, and it always seems a little bit stale and quite some time in between the championship and the visit. So we wanted to try and do it in the winter. We were looking at the possibility of doing it after winter weekend, which is coming up this weekend, when we'd all be together. But this is the date when everyone will actually be in Fort Myers. So we're going to do a charter from Fort Myers up to Washington, D.C. and back in the same day. And it's actually most convenient for the players and their spouses and the Major League staff who would be joining if it all comes together.
Have you had a chance to talk to any of the players yet as far as those who will definitely attend and maybe those who definitely will not attend?
I've had a bunch of different conversations with the players. And like in the past, I'm sure there will be players that choose not to go, players that will go. And we've been pretty consistent and clear about this. At least I hope this is an honor and a privilege to be invited to the White House. And we've tried to not make it a political statement. We don't see it as such. We see it as an honor to be invited. And we went under the Bush administration two times and under the Obama administration once. So we feel very fortunate. And it's an opportunity that, frankly, it's about the players and giving these guys the opportunity to go behind the scenes at the White House and be honored for what was quite a remarkable 2018 season. So it's something that you want to rise above politics and give your players that opportunity. But it certainly is not a mandatory trip. We've the three times that we've gone, again, we've had some folks go and some folks not go, but I believe if it all comes together, we'll have a good representation of ownership and players and coaches that choose to go.
You sort of half answered my next question. Is ownership now planning to go?
Yeah, ownership's planning to go, and I'm planning to go, and so it should be. It's been a great experience. This will be our fourth time, and it's really special. But you know, we'll see if we have to evaluate, and I'm sure the White House does as well. If you know, we deem it to be inappropriate during this government shutdown, then we'll certainly adjust accordingly. So we're going to sort of play that by ear. That was not a part of the conversation when we got the invitation. No one knew that was coming. So we'll see how that plays out over the next couple of weeks.
Now, a lot was made about all the fast food that was there for the Clemson football team. I'm curious, like, when you guys went before, is a meal part of the deal?
No, I don't remember food being part of the visit. I remember a very cool behind the scenes tour of the White House and a very, very special visit to the Walter Reed Medical Center for a chance to visit with active duty military who have just come in for treatment, being treated for wounds suffered in battle. So no, I don't remember the food. That is, yeah. That was the Clemson event was new to me, and we don't anticipate that being a part of our visit.
Is a Walter Reed visit in the plans right now to be part of this trip as well?
Yeah, as I mentioned, we don't have the exact details on timing. We'd certainly like it to be if it works from a logistical perspective, and if it doesn't, we'll likely make another visit there at some point in the future when we're down in the Baltimore D.C. area. It's been great to have that connection. It's actually how our home base program grew out of that visit. So it's something that we're very committed to through our foundation, treating veterans dealing with post-traumatic stress and traumatic brain injury.
And we got the news last week, Sam, that Mookie Betts and the team had agreed to a $20 million deal for next year. I'm curious, what was the difference year to year? This year, willing to really double his salary, the year before fighting him over $3 million.
Yeah, it's a good question. Mookie continues to set all types of records on the field and off the field, and he's just a remarkable player. Falls into the special sort of elite category of players, and a $20 million arbitration settlement is unprecedented, and he's just remarkable. He deserves every penny, and we hope we can have him a part of the Red Sox for a long, long time. And I just want to be clear. Last year there was no fight. There was a responsibility on our part to present comps and cases, and it's the harsh reality of the business of baseball. You've got to make sure you can try and slot in all of the players you want on your team at the appropriate levels. And he won the arbitration case, and then he went out and put up an MVP season. So that was one big difference. He's just remarkable, and we're glad that we got all 12 players done. The baseball ops group did an amazing job, especially Brian O'Halloran and Zach Scott and Ben Crockett. There was a team of people working for us that day and trying to get all the ARB players done, and we've got a lot of clarity now, which is great.
So, yeah, maybe fight wasn't the right word, but a year ago, just to clear things up, he wanted like $10.5 million. You guys thought he was worth $7.5 million. Is that how that worked?
Yeah, we filed it at $7.5 million, and he filed at $10.5 million, and he won.
All things being equal, do you think the arbitration process stinks? Because basically, your task is to go in there and right. tell your player why he's not worth what he says he's worth.
Yeah, it's a process that can be uncomfortable for the team and for the player, but I think the players and the agents recognize that it's just sort of part of the overall collective bargaining agreement, which we all 30 clubs operate under. There's you gain arbitration eligibility once you've been under team control for a couple of years, and it's served the industry well, and so it's you prefer not to go to a hearing and have to present comps and talk about players, but some once in a rare while we really haven't gone that often in the past, but sometimes we have, and it's a system that has worked well for a long time, and I don't anticipate it changing much as we go forward.
Do you get the sense that Mookie Betts would be open to a long-term deal before he becomes a free agent, or do you think that's kind of what he's envisioning after the following season?
Yeah, you always try to put yourself in other people's shoes when you're dealing with negotiations in business and sports. And the short answer, I would never speak for Mookie, but I know how we feel about him and the fan base feels about him, having now won an MVP and having won a World Series championship in Boston and being part of a historic team. I really hope he wants to be here long term. I believe that he does, but I also understand that he's going to see what the market looks like and make judgments for him and his family long term. But he's a very, very special player and a special person, equally as important, and we've expressed that to him on numerous occasions, and hopefully he'll be part of the Red Sox for a long time.
And then last thing for me, any updates on Craig Kimbrell or just the closer position?
We're still kicking lots of different ideas and opportunities around balancing the bullpen for 2019 with opportunities that are out there outside the organization, things that are inside the organization. We'll see how it plays out. We also have a desire to extend and talk about extensions for a number of our guys. So, as a reminder, we didn't make the deal with JD Martinez till the end of February. So, for whatever reason, free agency and the trade market seems to have gone later in the off season, almost until spring training starting up, or even after the start of spring training. So, we're having lots of internal conversations. I think once the Harper and Machado, those big pieces are taken off the board, things will start to move more quickly, just given they represent such an important element for the ultimate team that get them. So we'll see how this all plays out here over the next couple of weeks. And Dave Dombrowski has demonstrated in his time here a willingness to be bold and be aggressive, and I expect that to continue.
So we'll say a February 15th date for a Red Sox visit to the White House is written in pencil at this point, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's the date we've got on hold, and we'll see how things play out over the next couple of weeks.
Sam, we appreciate the time as always. Take care.
All right, guys. Good to be with you.
See ya.
Thanks.
Sam Kennedy, president of the Boston Red Sox, confirming that tentative date. And obviously, what he said makes all the sense in the world. If the government is still shut down, they're not going to the White House.
Yeah,
I noticed real world update here.
You think it'll still be shut down in a month? I mean,
I
guess you can't really.
I noticed that real world update here in the last few minutes. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi has asked the president to postpone the State of the Union address if the government is still shut down. There are certain things you probably aren't going to see happen, and a visit to the White House by the Red Sox is probably on that list. You're just not going to go if that's
the case.
Everything else, he says. If they can work out everything else, then that's the plan. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Kind of a jam-packed day today. Top of the hour, we're going to go live to Gillette Stadium. You'll hear Bill Belichick speaking to the media. AFC Championship Wednesday. Bob Fesco is his name, right?
Bob Fesco.
We had him on in the aftermath of the Kareem Hunt case.
Yeah, he does morning drive.
He's a sports talk show host in Kansas City.
He's good.
He's going to join us, give us kind of the Kansas City perspective out there. The best guest in the history of Dale and Keefe, which might be putting too fine a point
on it.
Prove
me wrong.
Well, go ahead.
Prove me wrong.
He's not the best guest in the history
of
Dale and Keefe. Tom E. Curran will join us at about 12:50 or thereabouts. We'll get to the calls with you guys in just a few minutes. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
The dynasty continues as the Patriots defeat the Chargers and get ready to face the Chiefs. React and talk about it right now. Now back to Dale and Keefe on Sports Radio WEEI.
Now, a lot was made about all the fast food that was there for the Clemson football team. I'm curious, like, when you guys went before, is a meal part of the deal?
No, I don't remember food being part of the visit. I remember a very cool behind-the-scenes tour of the White House and a very, very special visit to the Walter Reed Medical Center for a chance to visit with active duty military who have just come in for treatment, being treated for wounds suffered in battle. So, no, I don't remember the food. That is, the Clemson event was new to me, and we don't anticipate that being a part of our visit.
Yeah, both Christian Fourier and Jermaine Wiggins said they didn't eat when they went to the White House. I'd never heard of that one before.
Yeah, it was odd. The whole thing took on a life of its own. And they were like, oh, they usually get prime ribs. Like, No, they don't usually eat. They don't get anything. Eat
for
on your
one
way.
Thing, it's like 90 minutes. I mean, you're not there all day. You could probably forego a meal for 90 minutes, right?
That whole thing was bizarre.
It was a weird thing.
Yeah, and, eat on the bus on the way
over. I mean,
look,
I don't misunderstand me. Good for President Trump. Reportedly paid for it out of his own pocket. Gave the football players a bunch of fast food. They seemed to like it. Good, great. But it's not normal a White House visit to feed everybody.
Imagine that plane ride home. So you just had 100 guys stuffing their face with fast food. They're like, all right, guys, back on the plane.
Ugh, no!
Trouble.
So obviously the big story in these parts this week is the AFC Championship game coming up this weekend in Kansas City. By the way, the forecast is moderating a little bit.
Moderating?
And now they're saying maybe 15 degrees.
Good.
As like opposed that. To like 5.
Perfect. What's the feels like?
I have no idea.
Maybe 5.
But
we're back to 5.
And it'll change again by the time we get to Sunday.
Oh, of course it will.
So Tyreek Hill is such an interesting part of this Kansas City offense. When these two teams played in week 6, Tyreek Hill was targeted 12 times. He had 7 catches for 142 yards and 3 touchdowns.
They didn't do a great job against
him. Not a good job.
They didn't slow him down.
Although, as somebody pointed out, J.C. Jackson was inactive for week 6. Obviously,
okay.
He'll be out there.
Yeah.
He'll be a big part of the Patriots' defensive coverage. You hope that he can help against Tyreek Hill. Now, it was interesting. I was listening to Bill Belichick on OMF on Monday, and they were asking him about Tyreek Hill and about whether having played him already would help at all, you know, in a second meeting. He gave me an answer that I did not expect.
Coach, last time we played the Chiefs, we talked about Tyreek Hill and saying that he's fast and seeing it live in person are two different things, like just how fast he is.
He's fast.
So seeing it once, does it help these guys? Like Devin or somebody to just sit there and say, yeah, I thought I had an angle, but now I know better because
how fast he is. I think it always helps to play against guys and just know their skills and how you match up against them and maybe what you can do and what you can't do or what you need to, you know, as you say, take a different angle or play a little bit different leverage or whatever it is. So they have that experience against us. We have that experience against them. We'll see how it goes. But sure, I think knowing your competition, knowing the skills of the guy you're up against or the guy on the other side of the ball is always helpful.
I expected him to say, you know, it doesn't help you if he's fast, he's fast. But he said, no, it does.
Oh, I think it does.
You know, you learn about angles. You learn, I better make sure that I've got a deeper angle on this guy because he is fast.
Well, I think so. And we talked to, I think, Daron Harmon and Devin McCourty in the weeks after that game. And they're just like, yeah, it's just insane. Like, the speed is just overwhelming. Like, you play against fast guys all the time. It's the NFL. But Tyreek Hill is that extra speed. It'd be like facing a pitcher who throws like 102. Like, you're used to 95. You're like, 100. Like, what is this? Like, this is ridiculous. And so they obviously weren't really prepared for it the first time they played him. They did nothing to slow him down. And so this is a little bit different. You know, it may still not matter as much. Like, you give yourself so little room for error when you're going up against a guy that is this kind of speed. And I can't imagine the cold's necessarily going to slow him down or anything like that. What you would have needed was, you know, crazy winds or rain or you know, that would have maybe slowed him down. But I don't think cold is going to. So they're still going to have to face. This is one of the toughest challenges that this secondary is going to face.
It'll be a unique challenge for them. As I said, J.C. Jackson, who's actually become a pretty important part of this secondary. In the weeks since then, he's become a big part
good.
Of this.
Yeah, yeah.
Undrafted free agent, so it's one of those things, you know, they have had a history of turning those players into useful parts of their defense.
Well, it's pretty
he
amazing.
Didn't play in that game.
Yeah, so that was week six. So a lot has changed. And you think about some of the guys who did and didn't play for both teams. So just for the Patriots, you mentioned J.C. Jackson didn't play. He will play. Josh Gordon did play. He obviously won't play. On the flip side, Kareem Hunt had a great game against the Patriots. He had a really good game receiving. Running the ball, he was fine, but it was really receiving is where he hurt them. Obviously, you remove him from the situation. But then defensively, they didn't have Justin Houston or Eric Berry. Now, Justin Houston will play. They may still not have Eric Berry, but there's maybe a chance that he does play. So those are two of their better defensive players. Maybe they get them. They take a step back without Kareem Hunt, although in the time since he's been off the team, Damian Williams has been pretty good. So you sort of elevate him. But yeah, both teams are going to look a little bit different. I mean, the quarterbacks are the same. You know, some of the marquee guys like Tyreek Hill, like, you know, James White, Julian Edelman, they're all still there. But that was a long time ago. I mean, that game was played again all the way back in week six.
Alex Speer, who always has, you know, interesting statistical information in the Globe, and, you know, normally more of a baseball guy during that season, but he has a terrific statistics-based review of this game this weekend. And he had a couple of nuggets in there that I found fascinating. The Kansas City Chiefs actually gave up more points, or excuse me, actually scored more points on the road than they did at home this year, which I found interesting.
Oh, really?
They averaged 38.3 on the road, 32.4 at home, which boggled my mind, but it's there.
Well, now, you know what part of that would probably be is the game, because it's eight games, so but the game against the Rams was on the road where they scored 51 in a loss.
Right.
So that's going to sort of tip it a little bit.
But here's the other part of this. The Chiefs have played six games this year against playoff teams. You know, teams that ultimately were in the playoffs. They gave up an average of 36 points a game in those six games against playoff teams. Their defense is not very good. And they gave up at least 24 in each of those six games. Against non-playoff teams, they gave up 20.5 points per game. The difference is staggering.
Yeah, it is.
Six games against playoff teams, their defense gave up 36 points a game. Against non-playoff teams, they gave up 20.5 a game.
And yet, the most recent game, they faced the Indianapolis Colts.
Yep.
They give up 13, and they really only gave up 6 because the first touchdown came on a punt block. So Andrew Luck, who was as hot as anybody, most of it, you know, inside of a dome, which certainly helped him, and he looked like a completely different quarterback. So I think a lot of that's on Andrew Luck. Maybe he can't handle the elements, but some of that, I was shocked by that. But they went out there, and maybe some of it was certainly the weather. But the most recent thing we saw was the Chiefs winning 31-13. You know, the Chiefs and Patriots had similar games in the sense that at the half, you really didn't think they were going to lose.
Yes.
Like, the game was pretty much over, and you were just like, all right, are they going to cover? Are they going to hit the over or the under? Like, what? That's all. I mean, you knew they were going to cover. I should take that back. But you're saying, are they going to hit the over-under? Like, what's the final score going to be? But those games were both pretty much in hand at the half. And so that's the most recent thing we've seen in the defense. Maybe their best performance of the year, because you throw out, you know, the Raiders games because Raiders are just so bad. But to allow 13 points to Andrew Luck, that's probably the best game that they've played all year defensively.
Here's the other thing about this game as you look at this weekend. The Chiefs are the best offense in football. I mean, they're just unbelievable.
Yes.
They're first in points.
Even still, even without Hunt, I believe that they are.
They're first in points. Yeah. They're first in yards per play, passing yards per game, passer rating. They've got a great offense. The Patriots are pretty good, by the way.
Oh, sure.
I mean, they were fourth in points per game.
Yeah.
So it's not like there's this huge disparity, but the Chiefs are the better offense. the Patriots are the decidedly better defense. And in most of these analysis, it's not even that close.
No, it's not. Kansas City, they would be a team. This would be sort of from the new era of football. If a team that's defense is this bad, it just whatever metric you want to look at, if they're this bad, but their offense is good enough to carry them. Because even some of the other teams, like the greatest show on turf, Rams, their defenses weren't terrible. Like,
right.
They just weren't, you know, they weren't the Ravens or the Bucks or the Broncos, and like they were led there with the defense, but they had good enough defenses. And a lot of these Patriots teams, where Tom Brady is all the focus on how good the offense is, but the defense was never a real slouch. The Chiefs would be different. This would be, they have the best offense left and the worst defense. And you could actually make a case. The Patriots have the best defense left and the worst offense, although the gap is a lot closer offensively than it is defensively. Like, if you're just looking at points per game, Patriots are 7th. Nobody else is in the top 12.
Chiefs are 24th.
They're 24th in the league.
In points allowed per game.
Right. But again, points scored has been the stat of the year. You know, the points are up, the quarterback play is up, and it's really should be no surprise that it's these four offenses that are still left standing.
Passing yards allowed per game, the Chiefs are 31st. Rushing yards per game allowed, they're 27th. I mean,
and even that number is pretty. It's amazing that they have given up the 27th most rushing yards.
When everybody's coming from behind against them, right?
Yes, when you've won all these games, all over the place. You're blowing teams out. You would think they'd be throwing it. So, I mean, wouldn't you take those kind of numbers and say, well, the Patriots probably want to do something similar to what they did against the Chargers, where it's still close to 50-50 run pass. They don't take anything away. The Chiefs do. Right, I mean, they just don't. And again,
they just outslug you generally.
Yeah, they're going to score. They're going to score. You got to keep up with them. Like that's what you got to do. So I wouldn't be shocked if this is another game. If the Patriots win the toss, they just take the ball. You don't want to dig yourself too big of a hole against Kansas City. So if you can get up first, that could be the difference.
So we'll talk about this as the day goes on. At the top of the hour, we'll go live to Gillette Stadium, and Bill Belichick will step to the podium. I will tell you that these press conferences are generally a little more on time. You get to the conference championship, and there's a lot more media, obviously, and so timing is more rigid. You know, generally speaking, during the season, Bill isn't always exactly at the moment he's supposed to be there. He probably will be today.
Yeah.
So we'll go down to Gillette at the top of the hour. We will talk to Bob Fesco from Kansas City and get a Chiefs perspective and a Chiefs fans perspective, and maybe a bit of an update as far as the long-range forecast is concerned. And then Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us at about 12:50 or so. We'll get to the calls with you guys coming up in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
They're a good team, and we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games, so we'll see. It'll be fun.
Tom Brady playing the disrespect card as best as he can play it out there. It's actually kind of amusing for some people when you consider his record. They're doing something this year, which Keith and I were talking about this during the break. I feel fairly safe in saying you will never see happen again in the history of the NFL. A team going to 8 consecutive conference championship games.
There's a good chance the NFL doesn't last 8 more years.
It might not.
So they, I don't think, yeah, it's just, it seems so impossible. Because one of the team right now that everybody loves, or one of the teams that everybody loves, is the Rams. And you look at their head coach, you look at you have a young quarterback and all of this. But look at how they've gotten there. Look at how they've loaded up. Look at what their salary cap is going to be. And then by the time Jared Goff is going to cash in, you're not going to be able to have Aqib Talib and Ndamukong Suh and Marcus Peters and Todd Gurley and Brandon Cooks. Like they're going to have to get rid of guys. And so even like they look like the team of the future, but how long can it last? Like how many quarterbacks are not going to that deserve every dollar, not going to command every dollar? How many quarterbacks are going to be able to play that long with the head coach and then with the surrounding pieces? So, yeah, 8 in a row. It'll never happen again.
Tis the season. Pro Football Focus has come out with their mock draft for the first round.
Woo! Love a mock draft. Love mock drafts.
By the way, they've got the Arizona Cardinals taking Nick Bosa first overall.
Yeah, that's probably the smart pick.
They have Kyler Murray going 6th to the New York Giants.
Ooh, I like that.
Just before Dwayne Haskins goes to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Get out of here with Dwayne Haskins.
I'm just saying, those are the... That,
no, thank you.
They say that's where the draft starts to get interesting. Giants, quarterback needy, Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, both there. They go with Kyler Murray, according to Pro Football Focus.
So this is just Pro Football Focus, but they're not going to be alone. There's going to be a lot of these mock drafts that come out this way. But this is the beauty of it, because all college football season long, everybody was saying, no quarterback's a first-round pick, maybe Justin Herbert from Oregon. Then he goes back to school, and now all of a sudden these teams are desperate for a quarterback. You have two in the top seven right now. I mean, come on. So Kyler Murray's doing the right thing.
Based on their mock draft, they've got New Orleans and Kansas City in the Super Bowl because they've got
home field.
They've got New
whatever,
Orleans picking 32nd, and their pick belongs to Green Bay.
Okay.
They've got Kansas City picking 31st. So they've got New Orleans winning the Super Bowl against Kansas City.
So where are the Patriots picked then?
29th.
Who do they got?
Will Greer, quarterback, West Virginia.
All right. Another quarterback.
They write, and I quote,
I want Kyler Murray.
The Patriots are in the market for their signal caller of the future, and this is a good spot for Greer, who has the downfield touch and accuracy to succeed at the next level.
First round pick. I think Brady would feel about that.
I think he sort of knows that they've got to get somebody in here.
Yeah, but doesn't he also know that you should probably help him out? Maybe allow him to throw to somebody other than Philip Dorsett and Chris Hogan next year?
Yeah.
I think the draft is going to be fascinating because on the one hand, they do need a quarterback, but they also need to surround Brady with better pieces or replenish the pieces. Because even if you think the pieces are fine right now, a bunch of the guys are free agents. We all believe Gronk is going to retire. So getting a quarterback there doesn't do anything to help the 2019 season, but going to be fascinating. And so if they got, I assume three quarterbacks in the whole first round. Because I feel like that Greer, there's probably nobody ahead of him.
No, they've got the first quarterback taken, they say, is Kyler Murray.
No, I was saying, so Murray, Haskins, Greer. That's
Haskins,
it, right?
Let me just, I didn't look in between.
I know Tom McShay was saying
they do not have another quarterback.
Or whatever,
they do not have another quarterback going.
All right.
So they've got three first-round quarterbacks, and the Patriots getting the third of the three.
And last year there was five in the first round.
Yep.
And the Patriots had an opportunity to take one of them. The other four all went before they had a chance.
Now, this flies in the face of some people who have said, you know, because of his size, he could fall to the second round, third round. They've got him going at sixth overall, which is really high.
I think the third round would have happened more if they were worried about baseball than the height. That's my opinion. And since he's saying I'm going to the NFL draft, I think teams won't be afraid, and he will go in the first.
All right, we'll go to Gillette Stadium in just a few minutes. We'll listen to Bill Belichick's press conference. We'll get to your calls as well at 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.